So when I received Rat Negotia's email in June asking if I would do this 10-minute talk, I admit I ignored it, hoping it would go away. It was something I would normally run a mile from, and standing up here or sitting here is about as far out of my comfort zone as I can get. However, after taking time to mull it over, I realised that becoming a Buddhist and asking for ordination within Sri Ratna was the most life-affirming and positive thing I've ever done for myself, and also for everyone else I come in contact with. So here I am. To explain what asking for ordination means to me, I have to go back to my life before I was a Buddhist. It is only through the changes Buddhism has made to my life so far that I can explain how important this request and journey to ordination and beyond is to me. My life, like most people's, has been one of extreme highs and lows, and a lot of just getting on with life in between. When the good stuff happened, I was happy, and when the bad stuff happened, then it was usually someone else's fault. And if I couldn't pin it on someone else, then it was me. I was a terrible person, not a good enough mom, wife, career woman, friend, whatever. The rest of the time, I just got on with whatever needed doing. I reacted to my emotions all the time, and that was just how I thought life was. It never occurred to me that there was any other way to live. I do know that I never really felt completely satisfied with what I was doing, what I had, or even who I was. It was like having an itch or a niggle that I couldn't quite get to. It was just out of reach, but I thought that was just how I was and how life was, and never gave it much thought. So it was through meeting my wonderful husband that I first came into contact with meditation and Buddhism. Initially noticing how meditation affected his mental states, I was curious, so I started reading some of the Buddhist books he brought home. And eventually we went to a small Buddha field festival where I had my first lesson on Buddhism and how to meditate. And it was the most revelatory experience of my life. I heard about no fixed self. Wow, I could change. I didn't have to be the person I thought or I told myself I was. And then there was conditioned co-production. Again, wow, all these things arise according to conditions. I began to understand and see how events had unfolded in my life and how my perceptions and reactions to these events had shaped my life and of those that I had interacted with. This was amazing. How did I not know about any of this stuff, and where had it been all my life? I was pretty sure I had found the back scratcher for the itch, and when I got back to Cambridge, I signed up for every course I could attend at the centre. There were a couple of teachings that impacted me the most at that time, the first and second verse of the Dhammapada. I'm going to read them because I find them so liberating. Experiences are preceded by mind, led by mind and produced by mind. If one speaks or acts with an impure mind, suffering follows, even as the cartwheel follows the hoof of the ox drawing the cart. Experiences are preceded by mind, led by mind and produced by mind. If one speaks or acts with a pure mind, happiness follows, like a shadow that never departs. This I found wonderful. My happiness, my reality, was all down to my mind. I didn't have to rely on anyone else, just my mind. It is down to me to be happy. I make my reality. It gave me a huge sense of freedom. I didn't have to be reliant on anyone else or anything else to be happy. It was my own mental state I needed to be aware of and to cultivate. I learned to meditate. And it was through the Metta Bhavana practice that I was able to change a very toxic relationship at work that was making me miserable, and I thought giving me no option but to get another job. While I was thinking about resigning, the office dynamics changed, and although the very difficult person remained, I saw it as an opportunity to be part of that change, to change how I viewed change itself, which was usually to be defensive. But as important, to change my working relationship with this person. The Metta Bhavana helped me see this person as a human being and not just something that was put on earth to cause me aggro. We went on to develop a good working relationship, and I saw her much more than I used to. She didn't change, I did. I also learned about devotion and pujas, and this was also a difficult area for me to start with. I couldn't understand why I needed to do this. It felt much like going to church, all the kneeling and the bowing. And the Buddha had just replaced Jesus on the cross, who equally was a man like the Buddha with a message. After going through the motions for a couple of years, I remembered my childhood growing up in India. I loved going to Indian pujas, and I attended mass in a Catholic church at school. What did I enjoy then that I couldn't find in a puja now? Looking back at their heart, they had something, a taste or a flavour not of this world. It was the joy of opening myself up to something higher than myself, something I instinctively recognised as a child, but had lost while trying to rationalise and explain everything as an adult. I now really enjoy the ability to let go of myself and just open to the Buddha, the puja, the chanting, and to just be with it. In 2015, I became a Mitra and started a Mitra study course. I was amazed that for someone who always got bored 6 months after starting something new, I just wanted to know more and more. It was anything but boring. This was about life, my life, everyone's life. The Dharma gave it meaning. It felt like that the more I found out, the more I wanted to know, understand, and grow as a person. And it just wasn't the Dharma. It just wasn't the Dharma. It was the Sangha too. As someone who's pretty happy doing my own thing, friendship wasn't that much of a big deal to me. I also felt I was pretty rubbish at it, and so didn't try very hard when I had the chance. So meeting the amazing order members who seemed to have it all sussed, and the Mitras who were so obviously on their way too, well, I really wanted to be one of them. But here was the challenge. I had to make an effort and put myself out there. I have made friends with the loveliest of people, and their love and support and faith in me have made it possible for me to be here talking now. A testament to how much of an impact friendship has made on me and how valuable I now see the Sangha to be. Last year, I realised I really wanted to be able to spend more time at the centre to help with courses, reception, anything really that would allow me to deepen my relationships with my Sangha friends and order members. I felt it to be crucial to help at the centre and support the spread of the Dharma. I also wanted to be able to spend more time in study and to do some voluntary work. The only way I would be able to do this with my busy family life would be to stop work. So in October last year, I asked for ordination and I stopped work in December. The new year was all planned. I would help with the Monday evening classes, with reception. I'd made contact with Winter Comfort about volunteering. My first GFR retreat was booked for March in Adistana. My days were planned around yoga, study, friends, voluntary work. Perfect. Here we go, my journey to ordination. Not so. Life decided to intervene at this point. Other than going on retreat to Adistana, which was probably the best retreat I've ever been on, not much of the other stuff has happened. In February, I contacted Shingles, which laid me low for about 10 weeks. In March, I went to look after my mum, who has dementia, when my dad went into hospital. I got to Adistana. Yay! And then back to Bradford, as mum and dad were both then in hospital. Sadly, dad died. He had lung cancer while mum was in the ward next door. In June, she had to go into a care home when she was discharged from hospital. Her grief at losing dad as well as her home was very hard for us both. My gorgeous 14-year-old canine companion also died in the same month. In July, my father-in-law was rushed into hospital after a short illness, and he passed away a week later. So, at the beginning of this month, John and I had a much-needed break in Scotland, and we got back last week. But life wasn't finished with us yet. Last Friday, my daughter-in-law attempted suicide. Thankfully, she's okay and back home, and I have just spent the last few days with them trying to help them sort out their house and make things a bit easier for them. So what has all this got to do with what ordination means to me? It is this. If I did not have the Dharma to guide me through the last 9 months, the support and the friendship of the Sangha and my deep reverence for the Buddha, I would not have been able to deal with it at all. I would be a basket case by now. I may have had to put all I planned back in October on hold, but the experiences I've had this year have been a challenge, a real testing ground for my faith in the Three Jewels. I have deepened my practice of ethics, cultivated positive mental attitudes, and deepened my understanding and teachings of the Buddha, and I'm grateful for it all. And on top of all that, I still want more. I want my practice to be seen and recognised, to challenge and to transform. And that is what asking for ordination means to me.